We are in part two of our Growing Pains series. And I'm going to be honest this morning. I'm going to tell you where this was birthed from. Is that okay? And maybe you kind of think, how the heck does she come up with these things? And over the Christmas period, we had different things going on in church. And it came to the evening of our Christmas carol service. And this place was heaving, wasn't it? And I don't know, you know, there were things that were going on in my brain that night, health and safety mainly, okay, going on in my brain that night and going, okay, we are a growing church and we need to look at the things that may happen within the life of our church as we grow. Let's identify some things before they kind of come up. And we were having to say, can we move seats and can we change things? And you know, I know that there were people that were like, but I sat here and I don't want to move to there. I want to stay here. But there were new people coming in and we just wanted to help them. And God really began to speak to me about how to prepare us to grow. Because actually, our growth, my prayer and a major word over the life of our church this year is the word salvation. And my hope and my prayer is that actually this year we grow through people coming in for the first time and finding Jesus. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's what I'm believing for. That's what we're praying for. And we have seen growth this year. And it's been through a lot of people kind of moving around. And that's been great. But I think God's been preparing us for what he's going to do. And as God does that, we need to change. And as God does that, we can't just sit comfortable in our nice little church and it's all for us. Because actually, we're not here for us. We're here, first of all, for him. And then we're here for them. And we're here for people yet who don't know. They're not really called them. They're part of us. They just don't know it yet. We're here for people who don't yet know. And we're going to need to change. And we're going to need to maybe make room a little bit first in our hearts before we make room in our building. Because my heart is that actually as people come in, that the welcome that they receive is going to be so amazing that even before a word has been sung or a word has been preached, they're already finding out about God by the way we treat them. And by the way we include, and by the way we make room and make space for people that are coming in. And so I just kind of began to put this series together about what is going to happen when we grow. How do we want to grow? And what are some of maybe the frustrations and those things that we're just going to have to get over? Can I say that? We're just going to have to get over some of these things because actually we're a growing church. And God's bringing people in, and when people come in that have never been in church before, that don't know the kind of etiquette of church, not that we really have much etiquette, I don't think, but they don't kind of know what to do or where to sit or where to go or how to be, when to stand, when to sit down, all of those things. You know what? We're going to have to, first of all, make room in our hearts. And that's what we're doing on Tuesday nights. That's what we're doing as we meet and pray together. We're making room in our hearts for those that God is going to bring. And so we're looking at this whole thing of there will be growing pains as we get larger, as we get bigger. There will be growing pains as we stretch out. Yeah, right. I brought that word 2 or 3 years to us. As we stretch out, there will be some growing pains. There will be things that need doing and things that need looking at. And, you know, we've been looking this week at ways that we can grow things even within this building. And you know, and we're feeling the pinch as well. So I am totally with everyone this morning. We feel the pinch sometimes when we grow, but it is always good. Because we're not here to stagnate. We're not here for a nice club. We are here to grow. And we are here to reach a world with the gospel. I was listening to Rick Warren earlier in this week talk about you know, evangelism and why we're here. And I was reading some statistics and listening to someone the other day speak on some statistics of how many people per minute are born, how many people per minute die, and how many people per minute are becoming Christians. And there's a lot of people that are leaving this world without knowing Jesus. And that's why the church is here. That's why we're here. And so I want to talk to us this morning. The title of what I'm going to speak about this morning is this, that healthy things grow. Last week, we talked about small things grow. And this week, we're going to talk about healthy things grow. Come on, let's have a bit of participation this morning. Healthy things grow. Okay. And quite a few years ago, about 14 years ago, Matt and I had been in our house about a year. And we had a new fence put up in our house. And it was joined to the neighbours that are joined onto our house. And so we have this new fence put up. And we went to the garden centre. We normally just go for a coffee because we haven't got a clue what's in there, really. And I went to the garden centre and we were kind of looking at, every year I get this urge to plant things in tubs. And I do it in March and by April they're all dead, okay? But we got this kind of urge to buy some flowers. And we bought this little pot of ivy. And we bought this little pot of ivy. And we decided that actually we didn't really like the ugly fence because it had these concrete posts on our side of it. Because the neighbours paid for the fence. So they got the fence looking nice and we got the ugly concrete post. So we decided we got this little pot of ivy and we planted this little pot of it. Now, I was told ivy doesn't take anything to grow. Anyone can grow ivy. That is what I was told. And it wasn't a lie. And over the next 14 years or so, this ivy began to grow. And it just kind of took over the fence. It was brilliant. We couldn't see the concrete posts. It was absolutely fantastic. And the ivy grew. And it spread. And it was brilliant. And it was kind of getting a little bit wild. We tried to do something with it. That didn't work. Okay. But it was absolutely fantastic. And then one day, we just had our lawn done. We had some stones moved and a new patio and all that kind of stuff. And we had a new piece of lawn put in. And it was beautiful. I have to admit, it was beautiful. The rest of the lawn was all patchy and horrible. But this new piece was lovely. And then one day, we got up and we went outside and the kids were playing. And I started to notice little patches of yellow on our brand new grass. And then I started to notice that the ivy was brown. Now I know I don't know a lot. I know that. But I know it shouldn't be brown. Okay, I'm there, all right? Ivy should not be brown. It should be a nice green colour. And when it is growing and spreading really nice, that's what colour it is. And all of a sudden we realised that the ivy was brown. The ivy that had been green, this is how I knew it should be green, for 14 years or so, 12 years or so, was now turning brown. So we kind of looked at it. We got our next door neighbour across, who's a landscape gardener. We just said, okay, what's happening, Dave? You put the grass down. Can you now tell us what's going on? And he kind of looked, and he was a little bit puzzled. And then we found out that our neighbours had got some stuff growing in their garden that they didn't like. So they had put poison down for these plants in their garden. And what had happened is the poison had sunk into the soil and had decided to travel to our garden under the fence. Okay? And so what we had been growing for 12 years, and I was proud of this, very successfully, like we can grow ivy like no one, it's brilliant. Okay? It's the only plant we don't kill, our neighbours might, but we don't. Okay? And we had been growing, and all of a sudden we realised we had to get rid of the whole lot. It was totally, it was sad. Because I kept something alive in the garden for 12 years. You do not know how good that is. And we had to get rid of it all. Then we realized there's a bit of fence we never actually painted. So now the fence is a few different colors now, and that's quite funny. And I'm not nagging or anything like that. It'd be good to get it done at some point though. But, okay. But what we had successfully grown for 12 years, when someone did one thing that wasn't even anything to do with us, they put something down on their side of the fence, on their side of the garden, all of a sudden what we had been doing for 12 years was totally and utterly cut down. Yeah. I want to talk to us this morning about healthy things grow. When we put the ivy into the ground, it grew, it was healthy, it looked healthy. It was the right color. It was spreading like it should do. We were doing good with the ivy. And then all of a sudden something came in that made it die, that made it go in a way that it should never go. For once, we had done nothing to kill the plant. But poison had got in and made it impossible for it to grow anymore, and we had to get rid of it. I want to talk to us this morning about the fact that healthy things are going to grow, and they're going to produce healthy things. Now, I know that unhealthy things also grow, and we saw that. Because the unhealthy thing grew under the fence and all up my ivy. We get that. Unhealthy things grow as well. But I want to look at the positive this morning. Okay, is that all right? I don't just want to look at the negative. We can look at the negative stuff and the poison and the stuff that gets into us. But I want to look this morning at the positive things that happen when we are healthy and we grow. And we're going to turn to John chapter 15. this morning, and I'm just going to read the first 17 verses. And then we're going to look at just three things about things that are healthy that grow. John 17, it's a part of the prayer that Jesus prayed. It's kind of leading into when he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for those that are going to come after, which is us, before he died. So these are all the words of Jesus. This is Jesus talking, okay, to the people that he led back then. This is Jesus talking to them and letting them know how we can grow. Are you ready for these words? It says this: I am the true vine, and my Father, which is God, he is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. I love this verse. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Do you know what? Our corporate and our individual health is linked. We looked at that last week. And we are only as strong as our weakest link. We are only as strong as the person who might be struggling the most within our family. Do you know what? We have to get back to seeing health as more important than numbers. For me, health is more important than growth. And do you know why? Because actually, if we concentrate on health, healthy things will grow. So you will get growth. If we just concentrate on growth all of the time, okay, but not health, we might experience growth, but it won't go anywhere and it won't have any impact. So for me, health is more important than growth. And I would rather place an emphasis on church health than church growth any day. From the passage in John 15, we see traits of health that can help us grow healthier. And what I want to do this morning is look at some things that Jesus said in John 15 that are going to help us to grow. We're going to look at three things that are going to help us to grow healthier. And then as we grow healthier, we will grow. As we grow healthier as people and men and women and young people who love God and who remain in him, as we grow healthy, we will grow. Do you believe that this morning? Okay. So the first thing is this, that healthy things are connected. John 15 verse 4 says this: remain in me as I also remain in you. I love these words. Listen to this. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Do you know what? Healthy things grow, and healthy things are connected to other healthy things. No branch can bear fruit by itself. If you think of a tree this morning, you are like one of the branches. You are like one of the branches of that tree. And I believe that there are two ways in which we remain connected. The first way is this: we connect ourselves to God. And actually, our connection to him has got to remain strong. God has to be the source for everything. He has to be where we find our life, where we find our health, where we find our joy, where we find our strength. That all needs to come from God, because if it comes from other people, they will fail you. So first of all, we need to be connected to Him. We need to have our lives and our souls and our hearts and our wills and our minds connected to our Father in heaven. When this connection is lost, we open ourselves up to the poison of this world and the opinion of others. First and foremost, what God says to me counts. I value people's opinion, of course I do. But first and foremost, what God says to me counts. And we've got to get to a place where we know God, where we know our Father, where we are connected strongly to Him. Because then sometimes when other people might get it wrong around us, we're not left wandering. We're left connected. We're left still getting life. We're still able to, you know, do the things that God has asked us to do because we are first and foremost connected to Him. God needs to tend the garden of our hearts. If He doesn't, it will either suffer neglect or become hurt at the attention of others who don't know how to do it properly. God needs to be the one to tend the garden of your heart. He needs to be the one who comes and waters stuff. He needs to be the one who comes and who helps you to grow stronger. When we connect ourselves to the wrong things, we suffer long term. Because let me tell you this, this is what I found. I've been on the planet for 45 years. I've known Jesus for 41 of those years. And this is what I have found. Only God can satisfy my soul. I have great friends. I'm in a great church. I'm married to a great man. I have two great kids. I have a brilliant mum and dad. I have a great brother and sister, great in-laws. All of those things in my life are made, but this is what I know, is only God satisfies me. And He might use some of those things around me to do that, but when my connection to Him is lost, I feel unsatisfied. I feel unfulfilled when my connection to the Father is lost. Do you know what? Don't let someone feed your soul today who doesn't see the big picture of your life. They may see your today, but they might not have seen your yesterday, and they definitely don't see your tomorrow, because there's only one person that sees that. Don't allow someone to feed your life who doesn't see the big picture. God sees where I have been. He was with me when I was there. Yeah. In the highs and in the lows, God was there. He was with me every step of the way. There is no one else on this planet that I can say that about. For the last 15 years, Matt has seen my highs and my lows, but for the years before that, he didn't. But God did. You see, God sees where I've been. He sees where I am today. But God also sees where I could be tomorrow. He sees where I could be in 5 years' time. He sees where my life could end up. God sees the big picture. And actually, if I let somebody become the be-all and end-all in my life who doesn't see that, they don't care for me in the way that God can. So don't allow someone to feed your soul who doesn't see the big picture of your life. Wherever you are today, God has already lived through your yesterday and your today and your tomorrow. God has lived through your tomorrow. He knows. He knows what your tomorrow is going to bring. I was reading this week and watching. There's a guy in Florida who lost five of his children in an accident. I don't know if you've seen the stuff. I'm part of church leaders and just kind of read stuff like that. And he got up literally days after his family was taken away. And he stood there and he said, "If it were not for God, I could not do this." And there will be moments in all of our lives where we say, "If it were not for God, I could not do this." Which is why God needs to be your be all and end all. And your connection is firstly to Him. But then we also need to be connected to one another. What is it it says in John 15? No branch can bear fruit by itself. You need a connection to other people. Yes, you need the connection to God, but you need a connection to those around you. God always intended community, and I bang on about this, and I go on about this because it's true. And I've seen so many Christians end up not following God's ways because they disconnect themselves from other Christians. I've seen so many people walk away from faith. I've been in ministry 25 plus years. I've seen it over and over again. And one of the first things that happens is we disconnect ourselves from other people. And we have great reasons why we do it, and we have great kind of justifications in our mind, and we have great things that we can say, this was going on in life. Do you know what? For me, and I can only talk about me, but for me, whatever goes on in my life, I need you. And actually, at some of the lowest points of my life, the church has carried me. The church has picked me up. They've opened their homes up to me. They've opened their lives up to me. Do you know what? We need a connection to God, yes, but I need people around me. I need you guys. And do you know what? You need me. And you need the person sat either side of you. You might not even know them very well, but actually we're in this room together and we need one another. If we ever want to fulfill what he has got for us, don't think we can do it by ourselves, because John tells us, Jesus tells us, no branch bears fruit on its own. We need one another. We need to be in connection with one another. Connection gives strength, and strength will give us impact. Right. Where there is strength and health, there will be growth, and there will be growth that will last. So I want to say to you this morning, our connection is to God, and then our connection is to one another, because healthy things are connected. If we're going to be healthy, we will be connected to one another. Second thing is this, that healthy things produce healthy things. Health produces health. Same as disease and poison produces disease and poison. So the poison that was put in my neighbor's garden produced poison in my garden. Poison produces poison, but health will produce health. John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As a Christian, as a leader, both in God's house and in my own house, do you know what? I have a chance to reproduce in other people. I have a chance to reproduce what God has done in me in the lives of other people, and that excites me. If there's one part of what I do that excites me, it's leading people. It is one part of what I do that I love. It's when I see something come out of someone that I know someone in this room has put into them. You know, when I see people being raised up and doing things incredible for God, it's one of the biggest joys of my life when I see people being reproduced in this house. Not that we're all clones. I don't believe in cloning, but I do believe in reproduction. Everyone is not going to be the same as everyone else. We're all going to have different giftings. But actually, maybe I was really impressed with myself this morning. I stepped in and got hospitality ready. Okay? And Jo just knows how everything goes and all of that kind of stuff. And she came and she went, that is really good. Like, I'd even got the next lot of coffee things ready to go in the coffee pots. Okay? And he was like, have I done this all right? And all I've done is I've watched. And when other people have done hospitality, I've just watched and I've tried to reproduce what they do because it's them that do it. Do you know what? This morning, it doesn't matter where your gift lies. There is someone else that needs your gift. There is someone else that you need to lead into a place of being able to do what you can do. Healthy things will reproduce healthy things. I'm always challenged about the verse that the Apostle Paul writes, and he says this, imitate my faith as I imitate Christ. That always challenges me. It always kind of brings a very sobering thought to leadership for me. But as you look at the New Testament church, you see leaders who have been reproduced. You see leaders who have come up under the Apostle Paul or under Peter. Or when you look at the disciples, they came up under Jesus. You see the reproduction of health in their life. Do you know what? We should be replicating what we have here in other areas. As we look to the future and we look to spreading out and we look to maybe campuses in other places, in other parts of our community, as we look to what God is going to do through the life of this church, health will reproduce health. So we need to be healthy in order to go out and do what God is asking us to do. I don't believe Generations Church is just going to be in Louth. Can I just tell you that? I don't believe we're a one-town thing here. I believe we're going to spread out. But I don't believe we can spread out until we're healthy. Because health reproduces health. So we need to get all our ducks in a row. We need to become healthy in every department that we have. So actually what we can do is we can go into another town. I think we have something great here. And I think as we look at other market towns, as we look at maybe other smaller villages, that actually we can reproduce what we are in those places and have a living, breathing, gospel preaching place there where there aren't already those things. Yeah. Healthy things grow. Healthy things reproduce healthy things. So church, if we want to grow, one of the frustrations and maybe one of the growing pains that we're going to have is we're going to have to get healthy. We need a healthy youth ministry. We need a healthy kids ministry. We need healthy hospitality. We need healthy new Christian courses. We need healthy connect groups, because what we're going to do, we're going to reproduce what we are in another location. Because I don't believe we're just meant to do this here. And there will be pains that come with growing that. But bring it on, because I'm ready for it. I think God's ready for it. We just all need to get on board. And we're going to be talking throughout this year about those things. Pray for us as we begin to work out those things. But you know what? Reproducing yourself takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes intentionality. Discipleship takes time. And I think sometimes in the world in which we live and in the church in which we live, in today's society, we like lights, we like show, we like, you know, Starbucks and all of that kind of stuff and good coffee. And you know what? I'm into all of that. I like all of that. But let's not have that at the expense of discipleship. Because actually, if we're not healthy people, we will never grow well. If we're not healthy people, if we don't have healthy discipleship programs, we won't grow well. We may be able to, you know, get the coffee right and all of that kind of stuff, but we won't grow well. So I want to say to you today, let's get healthy, church, because healthy things reproduce healthy things. And I think we have something so special here that we need to share it in our community and beyond. The other day, the guys who used to be in youth when I ran youth, he came through our school's ministry, and he used to press play on the CD player when we were in schools. That was his job. And he has gone on, he's got married, he's got two kids, and he'd been to Skegness to see Paul to have his eyes tested. And on the way back, they were going back to Leeds, and they decided to just call in. They just dropped in. We had no idea they were coming. And so Foster and his two kids came in, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden his kids asked something about finance, and Foster gave this amazing, amazing answer back to his daughter. I know where that answer came from, because I know the man who discipled him, and he tells our kids that all the time. And all of a sudden, I looked, I'm like, wonder where you got that from, Foster? And you know what? But discipleship takes time. Discipleship takes intentionality. Discipleship is going to be inconvenient, and it's going to be one of those growing pains. I don't want to go to that meeting to get discipled tonight, or I can't be bothered to, you know, get a coffee with that person, or do I really have to do it? Can't someone else do it? But I want to tell you, healthy things are going to reproduce healthy things, and we need everyone on board with that. Discipleship takes picking yourself up when maybe it's gone wrong before. This kind of building with people can hurt. It can be misunderstood. There can be growing pains along the way. There are people that I have discipled that decided they did not want that anymore. And sometimes they left quietly and sometimes they didn't. And it can hurt because we're dealing with people. But actually, when I stay healthy because I'm connected to him and I'm connected to others, when things like that happen, you know what? We pray. We might even grieve. But we pick ourselves up and we get on with it again. Because that's the gospel. Too many people are going to an eternity without Jesus for me to carry an offense and stop me doing what I am meant to do. Yeah. We're going to quickly move on to the third thing. And this is going to be my final point, and simply this. And I wanted to finish on this bit, and this may be a little bit ouch, but we're going to go there. Healthy things are pruned. Right. Oh, you were all like, couldn't you just finish on the other bit? because I was right in there with that. But John 15:2 says, you all thought I'd gone past it and I wasn't going to mention it, didn't you? No, no, we can go back when we're preaching. Okay, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You don't stay healthy just by being. You stay healthy by doing certain things and also by being pruned, which sometimes can hurt. Yeah. Allowing God to cut away things that have become unhealthy or things that are stunting your growth or things that are just not where you should be anymore are necessary. Not everything God prunes and cuts away is bad, but sometimes it's bad for you. I decided to look at what the word to prune means, both in the Bible and in the dictionary. And I was very shocked by one thing, and I will explain that in a moment. But to prune means this in the dictionary, to cut off or lop off. I love that phrase. Okay? It's God doesn't always come gently, does he? And goes, right, okay, let's just... Sometimes he just comes in and goes, nope. Okay? And he lops it off, okay? So to cut off or to lop off... to get rid of undesired twigs, branches, or roots, or to get rid or to clear anything superfluous or undesirable. The Greek word that was used in the Bible when it was talking about pruning is the word kathairo, and it means to cleanse of filth, or get this, to prune of useless shoots. You see, when we can think of pruning sometimes, we think of it as being all the bad stuff in us. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the useless stuff that we just don't need anymore. Sometimes God comes along and goes, that's not a bad thing, but actually that isn't going to take you to where I want you to go. So let's work on that. Let's get rid of it so that actually you can be free to go to where you need to go to. Yeah. But this is what I was not expecting. If you go back to the root of the Latin word, okay, when you look in the dictionary and it talks about the Middle English Latin word root, it means this. The word prune means to anoint. I was like, ooh. Ooh. I did not expect to see that. You see, we can look at pruning as a negative thing. We can look at pruning as God coming and taking away from us. But actually what happens in the middle of all that is God anoints us for where he wants to take us. He anoints us for, everyone's Googling it now to make sure I got it right, aren't you? He anoints us for where he wants to take us. And actually, I realized what has happened in my life when God has pruned things, when he has got rid of useless shoots, or whether he's had to dig up something that is poisonous in my life. When God has done that, it has set me up for the next season. It has set me up for where, it's almost anointed me for where he's taken me to. And what I just want to do to finish off with today is I've been thinking over the last, I've been here nearly 23 years. Over the last 25, 26 years that I've been in ministry, how has God pruned my life? And I've just got a few things that sometimes God looks at in us, and this is what I have found. Okay, so take it as that. But things God has pruned in me, sometimes God has pruned people. That for me is the most painful thing in the world. Right. I've done life with people and now I'm not doing life with people. And sometimes it's just because they've moved away and we've lost touch. You know, a few of you, those of you who were here a couple of years ago, my friend Sarah Weber came. Sarah and I were best friends and we shared everything together. I would tell her my deepest, darkest secrets. In fact, when I was living wrongly, she was the person I went and talked to about it. So I would tell her anything. And we had a quite intensive kind of friendship for a few years. And now she's down in Folkestone. I'm up here. Okay. And we can connect again and we can get in touch again. But we're not in each other's lives all the time. And that's painful sometimes. But there have been people that I've done life with that I'm now not doing life with. And that is hard. And sometimes God has pruned people in my world and in my life. Sometimes God has pruned on my finances. There have been seasons where finances have been difficult, both for the church and for me personally. But actually, it's not been the enemy having a go. It's been God pruning me. It's been God teaching me. It's been God taking away the love of stuff. It's been God teaching me to trust him and to rely on him. It's been God pruning me. I'm not saying it always is, but sometimes it is. There's been times God's had to prune my attitudes. Do you know what? There have been times when ministry hasn't been Instagram worthy. You know, you can go on Instagram at the end of a Sunday and, you know, there's all the photos of, you know, everybody in church and, you know, you make it look really cool and you get it from the right angle and all of that kind. Do you know what? There have been times when ministry for me has not been Instagram worthy. There were Friday nights I turned up to 4 young people. Who wants to Instagram that? Because it doesn't show in the world's eyes success. But can I just say one of the 4 is now our youth pastor? Health versus growth. Yeah. I think you can have both. Yeah. But in the days when there were 4 young people in my room, one of them now is doing something and he's reaching loads of young people. So maybe it was Instagram worthy. But there have been times when my attitude and my pride and stuff like that have got in the way and God's had to come in and lop it off. That's a lopping off moment, okay? It's not a let's just come in and cut off gently the little shoots that are useless. That's actually, Joe, that is not acceptable. Let's just lop it off. Get those long loppers and go for it and just cut it and get it away as quickly as possible. There have been times when God has pruned the things that I do. I can remember when God asked me to lay youth down. And Liz and Paul were taking it on. I used to stay in my office till about, I don't know if Paul remembers this, I used to stay in my office till about 7:30 on a Friday night. I was nothing to do with youth at all, okay? They were running it, but I just used to stay in my office just in case they needed me. Just in case I had to go in and be the cool youth pastor again. Just in case they didn't rock up. Just in case somebody got hurt. Just in case. Until one day Liz went, you know, you can go home. She was really nice. You can go home. We've got this. And actually that was her going, Joe, go away. You're not the youth pastor anymore. But she didn't want to say it like that. And she'd learned a bit of tact and pastoral care at that point. Okay, so she just kind of, Joe, you can go home if you want. We've got this, you know. But sometimes God prunes the things that we do and asks us to lay things down. And pruning is never easy. You can feel loss and grieve sometimes for what's been cut out of your life. But it is necessary for you to stay healthy and to bear much fruit. Yeah. Because the whole thing is that God wants us to grow. Because healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy things what? They grow. They reproduce after their own kind. They grow. They get stronger. You know, every year there is a winter and the trees become bare and we cut them back. Because what we want to happen in is this: in the spring, we want the buds to appear and we want there to be growth. For us, sometimes there's a winter season. But it's only so the spring can come and there can be growth in you again. And there can be growth in us again. And so this morning, there are growing pains to getting bigger and to grow in as a church. But I want to say to you, let's concentrate over the coming months on our health, and the growth then will come. Let's not make it a be all and end all about how many chairs are filled and the Instagram worthy moment on Facebook. Because you know what? God's doing something here right now that is just so special. And God doesn't want it to stay here. I believe God's taken us to a place of health so that we will grow and reproduce, so that we will grow and spread out. I believe in this room, in this house, there are church planters. In this room, in this house, there are people who are going to disciple congregations or campuses, whatever we're going to call them. I believe in this house, there are people who are going to take on children's ministry, because we don't believe in babysitting, we believe in ministry. I believe that there are youth pastors in this house that, and I'm not just talking about young people there, but I believe there are people who are going to disciple young people, and it might not always be in this room, but it might be in a room, plucking names out of the air maybe, in Horncastle, or in Ragby, or in some of the villages around here. Might not always be in this room, but there are people in this house right now that God is raising up. And actually what he wants is our health. And when we get healthy, we will grow and we will reproduce and we will go and do the things that God has called us to do, because the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Maybe there are people in here that are going to go abroad and are going to plant churches there. Maybe we're not just going to stick to our country. I don't know. This is not me speaking now. I don't know. All I do know is that healthy things grow. It's not just big things that grow, it's healthy things that grow. And so if you are prepared this morning to commit to getting healthy, why don't you stand where you are? Because I am. I'm committed to getting healthy, not so we can grow something and become someone, but I'm committed to getting healthy so that we can spread out and reproduce and grow and fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. The psalmist says, as the waters cover the sea, I'm prepared to grow and become healthy so that we can reproduce all that God is in us somewhere else, as well as here. There's going to be people coming in from our community that are going to need your skill set, your gift set, your journey, the things that you thought disqualify you that we've talked about before that actually qualify you into speaking into someone else's life. We're committed to getting healthy this morning because we're committed to growing the house of God and the kingdom of God like it should be. Father, we thank you this morning that healthy things grow. We thank you this morning that if we remain in you, if we remain with one another, if we stay connected, Father God, I thank you this morning that we will grow, and that, Father God, not just numerically, but God, individually, spiritually, God, we're going to grow. Let this season be a season of growth, Father God, Lord, and a season of health, not just growth because we want more people, but God, growth so that we can meet other people's needs, so that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel and disciple, Father God, so that we can be who you've called us to be, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.